so can recite the meditation prayer. The heart of the whole entire Buddha Dharma. The professional wisdom, the gone beyond wisdom, you see. And the very heart of that, the heart of wisdom, the heart, the very heart of the, all the teachings of the Buddha, the professional wisdom, the very heart of that is the heart of the wisdom. So, even you don't, so even you do not know the prayer by heart, but the very essence is meditation on emptiness. Looking at the eye, what it is in reality, what it is, what is the eye, what is the aggregates, what is the mind. So you analyze what it is. The way to meditate is that whether we recite billions of words on the professional wisdom, you know, billions of words or few words on the emptiness, however the very essence is to differentiate your false view and truth. You see, the daily life view that we have was nothing new from begin, not only from birth, not only from this morning, not only from this like birth, from beginningless birth. This view that we have, you see, including the self. You see, how you see the self? How does the I appear to you? How does I, self, we talk about 24 hours, like chanting mantra, you know, I, day and night. All the time we talk about I. All the time, like chanting mantra, 24 hours, we think constantly, I, this, I'm happy, you know, because now I'm happy, or now I'm unhappy. Today I'm unhappy. Oh, today I got up this morning, unhappy. I got up this morning, my mind was unhappy. Or my friend doesn't love me, I'm unhappy. Or you see, my friend loves me, unhappy. Or you see, 24 hours we talk about I, you know. 24 hours we talk about I. So, what's really that? What is really that I is? You see. So this is a meditation on that, you know. You see. So to really know what is the I, you know, or what is the very nature of the I, the ultimate nature of the I, to know that, first you have to know, you have to recognize, in order to recognize the truth, you have to recognize the false view that we have. Regards I, there's a false I, and there's a false I, which you see doesn't exist, but appear every day, but appear all the time, every second, and we believe that's true, without any doubt, without any question, 100% it's true. So it's every second. That's from beginning of the birth, it's been like that. You see, is a hallucination, false eye hallucination, projected by your own mind. Not projected by God or by somebody, no. It's your own mind. The own mind, the hallucinated mind. Mind, you see, the hallucinated mind, which carries the negative imprint left on the mental continuum, which carries negative imprint left by the past, ignorance, unknowing mind. While the I is empty of existing from its own side, or while the I is empty of the real I, what us common people, everyday life, the word we use, real I, which is an explanation of the philosophical term that I inherently exist, I existing by its nature, existing from its own side, all those, according to the four philosophers of the Buddhist school, the fourth one, Madhyamaka school, the second one, the Prasangika school. So all those different, the description of the false eye in the inherently, the truly existent eye, or eye existing from its own side, or in the existing by its nature, not merely labeled by the mind, so the same. So, perhaps those who are not familiar with those terms, maybe doesn't become natural, doesn't become, maybe we're not familiar, cannot recognize, cannot identify with your view, with your daily life view, view of the self, you know, the self and the phenomena, your view of the self, you see. Those who are not familiar, then cannot identify. The way that I appear to you now, the way you believe now, is that, you see, you put it into words, truly it's an I existing from the side, existing by nature, all that, not merely labeled by mind, it's all that, you see. But however, we do talk about objective to be reputed, gaksha. We don't recognize we're talking about it, but we do talk about it 24 hours, in a real eye. People, we talk about that, real eye, you know. I'm really happy today, or I'm really unhappy today, or that, you see, when somebody calls your name, or is he calling me, you see, real me, you see, or call me, the real me, the real I, or when somebody, you see, accuses you, somebody, in a meeting or in the public, or somebody accuses you, somebody talking bad about you. So they bad about you, you see, some mistakes, what you have done or not. But anyway, then you see, you are telling me this, you know. Are you telling me to me that I did this? Oh, see that. So, however, you see, it's an expression of, you see, you're, when you're talking, however, that's you are expressing the what in the philosophical world. The teaching talk about object to be reputed gaksha. So we don't recognize we're talking gaksha, but this is what we're talking. We're not talking about the I which exists merely impeded by that which is merely impeded by mind. We're not talking about that. We are completely 100% completely focused on the I which the false. I mean I, You see, he has a real eye, not merely level of the mind, true extent, existing from inside, existing by nature. You see, in the Western, according to Western psychology terms, emotional eye. And ordinary people's language, real eye. So when people talk, common people talk about real eye, they're talking about gakcha, objective repeated, false eye. So, if you are meditating while you are having conversation, while somebody is arguing you or provoking you, in a, especially in a meeting, you see, in the public, anyway, not private, anyway, same, private or public, anyway, same. If you are meditating, at the same time, you're watching, you're practicing mindfulness, you know, you're watching your mind, you're watching your eye, yourself, continuously, see. Then you notice, while you're talking, you know, I don't do this, I did the time to prove to the person, see, I'm okay, I'm perfect, you know. I'm perfect, I didn't do anything wrong. Oh. Or even you did wrong, but trying to sell perfect. Anyway, even you did some mistakes, but still try to sell perfect. Anyway, pure. Anyway, as much as you can, one can prove to another person. Anyway, so the lamas, the lineage Lama of Lamrim, actually, this is the part from what they explain, that the way of introducing the false eye, you know, that was called gakcha, object to be repeated. when you are falling down, or when you're about to fall down from cliffs, you see, suddenly, so suddenly, it become, it could become very gross that time. The object to be repeated, the false eye, the way it appeared, that one believed, one's own ignorance belief, this is always there. But times in the situations, you see, danger to fall down, see, about to fall down. So suddenly, there's a very strong eye, this is what Western psychology, you see, the term they use, emotional eye. So suddenly, it was there, but for those who are not familiar, it's become unnoticeable. But in those situations, become visible, you see. Suddenly become very visible, very, I guess, maybe gross somehow. Suddenly there's an eye, you know, something truly existing from its own side, you see. The real eye, in the sense, appearing from its own side, that not a particular body or mind, any of that gets not particular either on the body or on the mind, nothing like that. On the general aggregates, then there's not clear this that. On this, then, real eye in the sense, truly existing one. That which once on, ignorance, the unknown mind, hallucinated mind, hold on to it. true, 100% true. You say like that. Something very strong, see, real I, see. Like that. Basically, because the aggregates, the body, you see, is a danger to fall down, is falling down. So, I, you see, because the existence of the base, these aggregates, that which is danger to fall down or falling down, then the mind merely imputed I, and merely imputed action falling down. You see, mind, because of that, mind just made up the label I, and made up the label falling down. You see, merely imputed the action falling down. So, just that's it. That there's nothing more than that to exist. There's no other I. There's no slightest I. Then what is merely imputed by mind? There's no slightest additional than that it exists. There's no I at all, something additional, extra, additional than what is merely imputed by mind. Slightest more than that, the appear or believe that I exist, slightest more than what is merely imputed by the mind, all false I. Objectively repeated to all that. Anyway, starting from that, just a little extra, a little beyond extra than what is merely imputed by mind, all that is false I. Hallucination. So, thinking that how's possible the I, even though the reality, the way the I exists, what is I? The way it exists, what is the mere? What is merely imputed by the mind? That see, that's all. relating, or because there is the valid base, the aggregates. So at times we are in the formless realm like that. When there's only consciousness, so only the aggregates. Other times, there's the association of body and mind. You see, aggregates, association of body and mind. You see that? There is the valid base, which can receive the name I, label I. Which can receive the label I. As long as there's the base, you know, as long as there's the valid base, either it's on the conscience, like formless realm, on the conscience, or there's association body mind. However, There's always a continuity of the aggregates exist, whether association body mind or just only the mind, you know. So, but there's always continuity of the aggregates. I see. course, the Bhavashika school, the Bhavashika school or Chitam Meva, or there's a cessation of continuity of the aggregates. But however, even the different school, Buddhist schools of the different Buddhist schools, such as Bhavashika school have that kind of philosophy. But however, in reality, so I'm saying that this philosophy, you know, belief, that. However, in reality, there's a continuity of consciousness. Even the continuity of body is not there, but continuity of consciousness. You see, you know, these aggregates, the mind, continuity is always there. Always there, even you become enlightened, even you become fully enlightened, achieve liberation, non-abiding, sort of state, there's continuity of consciousness. You see, the mind. So the base is always there. The base, you see, never stop. The continuity of consciousness does never stop. By practicing Tantra, high Tantra, which has a greatest skill, that to stop the gross mind. Gross mind doesn't go to enlightenment, doesn't go to Dhammakaya. Gross mind doesn't go to even the gross, even the wisdom directly perceiving, even the wisdom, even the arhatas, 10th member Bodhisattvas, wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, the gross mind, doesn't go to enlightenment. What goes? Is the mind is gross, subtle, extremely subtle? Only subtle one. Gross, subtle, extremely subtle. Only the extremely subtle one goes to enlightenment. So, even though there are these details, but there's always conscience. There's always continuous conscience, even if it's not a gross one. But the extremely subtle one, so you actualize, you see, that Lord Tantra doesn't have that skill to seize the gross mind and actualize the extremely subtle mind, but the high Tantra has. So that's what goes to enlightenment. Is it true? So anyway, but however, there's continuity of mind also go towards enlightenment. So there's a continuity of the mind all the time, even after you achieve enlightenment. That totally pure mind, that fully enlightened mind, there's always continuity of that, which is the base. Of course, that's not, of course, unification of the holy body and the holy mind. However, that is extremely secret point to explanation of that. However, that, so that there's always base, you know, there's always continuity of aggregates, you see, base. So therefore, label I is once there's a base, the label I exist, you know. Once there's a valid base, even after you become enlightened, the label I, it exists you see, when the aggregates is samsaric aggregates, you know, the label I exists. One is, you see, totally purified aggregates, you see, you know, enlightened aggregates, totally purified aggregates. That at that time, enlightened being or enlightened, you see, the I exists. So it received a name, the label exists. So Because of the aggregates, the valid aggregates, so the label exists. That's it. That is the main point. So what I was going to say. So here I would like to bring this issue. Since there's always continuity of, aggregates, even sometimes just the consciousness, but there's the aggregates, the consciousness, you see, that never ceases. But in reality, as I mentioned before. So therefore, you see, there's no way that get stopped. The self gets stopped. You know, become nothing. There's no way. There's no way. Useless worry. That's totally useless worry that I'm going to become nothing. You know, stop, cease. You see, like the body ceases. You know, like the light. You know, when the wax finishes, the light stops. This I, you see, continue to I, stop. There's no such thing. If the continuity of the mind ceases, then you see the label I which receives on the base, then will be stopped. But there is a continuity of consciousness all the time, you know, forever. When we become enlightened, you become one with all the Buddhas. Like the water, river, stream, whatever, from many different countries, and goes in the ocean, and become one. You see, whether it's rainfall or it seems there's two ways. The wise ones, the two ways of one said you get the same quality, but not you don't become one with all the Buddha, but the same quality. That's one way of saying. One is you become one with all the Buddha. Learned ones, there's two ways of explaining. However, I think it's much easier. Less danger, much easier to think you become the other idea that you become one with all the Buddha. I like that very much. That idea. You mix with all the Buddha. When you become Yamataka, also you become, you see, when you achieve Yamataka, you achieve Tara, you achieve all the Buddha. You know, when you achieve one Buddha, you achieve all the Buddha. So if you're not become one with all the Buddha, then I'm sure when you become enlightened, you would be manifesting Tara, you would be manifesting in Tara, for sure. You know? You would be manifesting into Tara, for sure, when you become enlightened. Then there will be other Tara, you see. There will be numberless other Taras, you know? Other beings become enlightened, and Tara. So they separate conscience. So there are number of Tara who are against, who's, you know, separate being. You see? So I think very crowded. It'll be so, because all the Buddhas spoke, because they have numberless generosity, they have numberless Tara, they have numberless, you know, Guru Shakyamuni Buddha, numberless Mithya Buddha, all that. You see, Kalachakra deity, numberless. You see. But of course, when each sentient being becomes Buddha, you would manifest all those, you know, good sentient beings, different character, different characteristic, different character, you see, different karma, which is, so you have to manifest a different form of a deity, you know, different aspect of Buddha, also numberless different ordinary form, different form of, various form of animal, various form of ordinary human being, you know, even substantial phenomena, like bridge is often said, even the Tendabun Bodhisattva, it is said in the Madhyamika commentary by Lama Tsongkhapa, even before you become enlightened, they manifest as water and river and so forth. Very high tang yogi who achieved the path of unification, you know, can manifest, even that one can manifest various forms, those substantial forms, you see, to benefit of the sentient beings. So, of course, there's no question left Buddha manifesting all those, even substantial forms like that. So that's no question left. So, so, what's that? Then I think they were so crowded. So, you know, so many different forms, you see, to guide this one sentient being. You know, whole sky will be filled. All the numberless generations, numberless Tara, numberless, you know. But every sentient being becomes enlightened, then, you know, manifest all this. But, you see, there won't be any space left, you see. I mean, sorry, just say, that's not quite true, but space, but anyway. So, you see, then it's not possible at all. All the Buddha, the numberless Buddhas, take one form to guide the sentient being. That's not possible then. You see, numberless enlightened beings take one form. In one form, guide the sentient being. You know, then that won't be possible. You see, but you see now, there's a generous manifestation, a person, or ordinary, see, female aspect, you see, Tara. Different aspect, you see, Tara or Vajrayogini, something like that, you see. Guiding that person, manifesting into that form, guiding that person, subduing that person's, that being's attachment, you see, manifesting as Vajrayogini, the female deity, you see. For a craze of attachment, you know, subduing that, taming that person's mind. So, Tara, you see, manifest female aspect, Tara, ordinary person, female aspect, Tara. So, then you see, then, this is one, this is the person, this Tara is guiding one, this person, you know, then, there are numberless other Taras. They're not working for this person. There are numberless other Taras because I think while this Tara is while this this one manifestation ordinary form, the Tara manifestation is working for this person catching talking on the basis of a separate mind, you see, then when we become enlightened. There are numberless Ataras. They're not guiding you. They're not They're not doing anything to you, see. So they are numberless other Buddhas, untouched to you. I mean, no connection to you. Like that. No connection. See. So there will be different time. So of course, benefit, purpose to be enlightened, to benefit a sentient being, to bring them enlightened. So then those different Buddhas will be guiding you. Then those different, numberless different Buddhas, the numberless are separate Buddhas, you know, Buddhas who are separate each other, the consciousness. Then they will be guiding you, say, maybe in the different times. See. While this Buddha is guiding you, there are others who say, the wait, maybe the wait, in the waiting list. You know. Like the airport, the waiting list to guide the person. Or like the seat is taken by other people, so near some other, what the Buddha has got, so then it's occupied. So anyway, this is my thoughts, you know, just think about. So anyway, I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not going to blah blah blah, going to go over there. So come back, now come back. There, say. So, the reason, sorry, I got distracted. The reason I was talking, the reason why one thing that I brought this issue was, I was emphasizing why you don't need to worry about that the eye become, non-existent, continued eye cease. The reason why I brought that issue is that when you meditate on emptiness, suddenly fear arises. See, I'm talking in that situation. Suddenly, very deep fear arises. Extremely deep fear. Fear from very bottom, from your heart or something. Very deep fear arises. Of course, that happens. For many people, except that person, somebody say, who has so much merit and intelligent being, you know, as it is mentioned, that are Bodhisattvas, the lower intelligent beings, when they realize emptiness, ultimate nature of the eye gets, and so they get a lot of fear. But the highly intelligent Bodhisattva has so much merit, when they realize emptiness, unbelievable joy, and tears come from the, not tears come from the nose, tears come from the, tears come from the, sometimes, anyway, so tears come from the, then the pores from the hair stood up, stand up, you see. So, incredible joy. Also, I met students, some students, among the Sangha, who had that experience, realized emptiness, and incredible joy instead of fear. Incredible joy. that, so, even among the Sanghas, there's some, there are quite a number of people who had experiences, emptiness. Quite a number of people, you know, among the land. But doesn't mean, you see, if you're unable to continue, you need a lot of merit. If you're unable to continue, you know, then the experience, you know, it stops again, see. You have to continue. What's called, Tathong Nyokumbotsu Vas, means in Tibetan, from the right view, you seek meditation. So you, you need to work on samatha, come up, I don't see. The perfect meditation, free from the attachment, the scattering thought and thinking thought, you see. So you need to establish that after you had that experience, realizing see, that as empty. So it's true that many people, quite a few people had those experiences, but the difficulty is the continuity to develop the wisdom, to develop. So that is kind of that is difficult to develop the continuity experience. Come back again to the point. You know, then you do need to meditation sessions or the, you know, everyday session continue. Otherwise, back to the same thing. You know, back to the same home. Back to the same thing, you see, same hallucination. I mean, hallucination is always there, but I mean, how to say, you know, holding things is truly isn't. They're creating the ignorance all the time, you know. It's there. Of course, hallucination, appearance of truly isn't. Of course, these things existing from the society, of course, this is there. Until we become enlightened, except when we become exalted being, you know, exalted being. When we become exalted being, the higher being, and in the equipoise meditation, except in that time. So that one doesn't have. When we are exalted being, directly perceiving emptiness in equipoise meditation, then that wisdom seems that it is said do not have the hallucination appearance of the true existence. Otherwise, until we reach enlightenment, our mind has, you see, even realize the mind has all has this hallucination, truly isn't appearance. But of course, all this mind has this, even realized mind, bodhicitta and so forth, all those, you know, compassion mind, all this has this, you know, truly isn't appearance. But of course, this is not pervaded mind, lokshe, not pervaded mind. Wrong concept, you see. So anyway, what I'm going to say, the point is that so in the situation, receiving blessing of the guru in your heart, due to strong devotion to the guru by looking at the Buddha. And then with that, obtain the advice, you see. And then doing intensive practice of purification. The reciting the 35 Buddha's name, during the practice, confessing that the Buddha suffered downfalls, doing very strong purification, doing prostration along with those names, and doing very intensive, as well as Vajrasavana, that also, or doing service to the Guru, obtaining the advice, what you are far or what you are near. So with that heart, with that devotional mind, you see. So which makes your practice, which makes your service become Guru Yoga. So, which is the most powerful purification, the most powerful, extensive way to collect the merit. So anyway, so with these conditions, you know, where you do intensive practice purification and collect merit, not just only mandala offering, but the main thing is during the practice, offering service to a sentient being, the guru have a something that pleases the guru with that not necessarily collecting merits, only just mandala offering, not just that. Mandala offering is just one example, one method, where to means to collect extensive merit, you know. But there's so many other ways you can collect extensive merit. So anyway, that and because of our mind is a causative phenomena, depending on cause conditions. So therefore, at the beginning, one think, how is possible? You know, one think, but at the beginning, one think is not possible at all that I can see this person Buddha. You know, it's possible. You can't figure out that. You see, can't believe that. Can't figure out that. You see. You know that is it. You think no way, you know, one can do that. You see. So that realization, that experience. But however, with these conditions, you see, collecting extensive merit and making strong that practicing these powerful methods of purifying the mind. And then, when you do that, few words of the Guru Yoga prayer, meditation prayer. You know, few words, 2-3 words or one stanza Guru Yoga prayer. Talking about the Guru, there, you know, about embodiment of all Buddha, like that. You know. It just clicks. It just clicks. You know? So with all the purification and collecting merit, all these conditions were powerful. It's gathered, you see. Then little meditation, just is some words, it clicks your mind. You know? You realize, you see. Totally. That's all. You see, this teacher, this deity, total confidence, total from in a deep down, from deep down in your heart. No question. No doubts. So, when we clean our mind, when we collect extensive merit, when we clean our mind, more we clean our mind, realization comes. You see? The experience comes. Because there's all the Buddha nature. There is Buddha nature within the sentient beings. You see? Mental continuum. So, realization comes from within. Like the sprout comes from the seed. So even though in the beginning you don't believe it at all, you see, but through practice, now you see different world. So when you do practice mind, when you practice correctly is a very important word. When you practice correctly, not just practice, but practice correctly, then you see, mind cannot stay as it is. Cannot stay as that stubborn mind, that ordinary mind, you know, that very like a rock, like a rock, the very stubborn, the very kind of cannot stay as it is. Or similar, you know, same. However, so now here, the then you see that when you have, so when you have that experience, then the devotion there, seeing that virtuous friend, who no mistakes at all, you know, only quality, you realize 100% is that the deity that you practice, or this is all the Buddha. This is all the Buddha. I guess those who have realizations, and then what they discover is they see one Buddha is all the Guru, one Guru is all the Buddha. Those who have realization of Guru devotion, so when you have that, then that's the definition. You have a Guru devotion realization, the rooted path to enlightenment. And similar, so what I was, it happened talking this way, but what I was going to say, so similar with this situation, like this continual practice purification, collect merit, and you see such a good pure mind, the devotional mind, looking at the Buddha. So by looking at the Buddha, seeing Buddha, so which causes to receive the blessing of Guru in the one's heart. So these three conditions, the purifying the obstacle, the defilement, the karma, and collecting the necessary condition, the merits, and then actual body meditating on the path, you see. So when all these cause conditions there, and then you have past imprint, you know, have heard teachings on emptiness, you have heard teachings on emptiness past lives or this life, at least in the past time in this life, so left imprint, you see. So like that, you know. Then again, so one day, every called cause condition together, this mind, I say, cannot stay, or this stubborn, just has a bold, bold mind, I would say. This very rigid, you know, this very rigid, tough, rigid, I've forgotten the name, bald head, no, bald head, no, stubborn, I didn't mean to beat the microphone. Anyway, before you see, it didn't make any sense. You know, so suddenly it clicks with a few words, with two, three words of emptiness. You know, just one day, two, three words. You see, clicks your mind. You see, recognize. Suddenly, some verse of teaching some emptiness, or even two words of emptiness, two words are expressing the gaccha object to be repeated, you see. Of words, the eye, is it non-truly existent? Because it is dependent on arising.